Welcome back to Pop Culture Failure, where we watch a show from our youth to see how it stands up. I am Sky.
I'm Jake.
And today we are watching Ninja Turtles The Next Mutation, episode number 20.
The guest. The turtles get a guest.
Yeah, this one is very similar to the style of Japanese television where they tell you exactly what's going to happen in the title.
Oh, is that a thing?
Oh my goodness, yes.
I don't know anything about Japanese television.
Yeah, they have severe spoilers in their titles.
I'm not aware of anything that happens outside of the Midwest.
What about Star Wars? Does that count?
Yes.
Because it's in a galaxy far, far away.
It's the Midwest of space. Tatooine.
Is that right?
Sure. Blue, I think Tatooine's probably like the deep south of space, let's be honest.
Wherever they collect moisture and blue milk.
I don't know what animal that blue milk comes from. Probably a dewback or something. A Jawa. Go milk the Jawas.
Gross.
It's got weird fast.
Or sand people milk.
That's weird, Sky.
How weird is it?
It's so weird that a blind man moves in with the turtles.
Yeah, do you remember that fella from the first episode who we thought we'd never see again?
Yeah, he came back.
His name is Andre, and he's still blind, but he comes back to...
Still blind. He didn't get any better.
Could happen. Maybe he had some medicinal marijuana.
That's true.
And he got better. Otherwise, he might have gone blinder.
I don't know that medicinal marijuana a thing in 1997?
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like that episode of The Simpsons was around then, so...
Maybe. But it wasn't legal.
The one with Laddie.
It probably wasn't as legal as it is now.
Well, if it was for medicinal purposes, it was legal.
I still think it was sketchy. Ish. The lines are still blurry now, and it's 2017.
Yeah.
So as you can assume, wackiness ensues.
Yeah, we got a Queez episode. You know how much we love Queez.
This guy super loves Queez. He sees
best.
A lot of himself in him. You're the queasiest guy.
It hasn't come out yet. But we had an interview with one of the gentlemen who worked on this show, and now we kind of feel a little bit bad about making fun of it. But we're still gonna.
Yeah, because a lot of what's wrong with it is not his fault.
Yeah.
It's the writing.
I think throughout we've been pretty clear that we didn't think that anybody working on this was at fault. It's mostly the higher-ups who
to
probably...
Listen to fucking Sky backtrack.
Never set foot on set.
His ass. We already recorded the interview. It's okay. He can't not do it.
No,
he was a very nice man.
He was super
nice
to us. But no, I think when we were going through it, we're like, we don't think, you know, the actors, it's not their fault, the set designers and so on. It's they had very little to work with.
For all intents and purposes, the sets are all right.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the turtle costumes look really neat.
We
also got to the bottom of lip syncing problems,
yes.
Which I feel are real satisfied. I feel like we could just end the podcast now because my first question got answered. So we're not going to spoil it for you guys unless we accidentally do, which I inevitably will.
Yeah, but you'll hear it soon enough. I just have to edit it.
Oh, great. Your surprise relies on Sky doing something.
I've put this podcast out on time every week for 20 episodes.
Except for that time we had to re-record it.
It was still out on time.
Was it?
Yes.
An awful time.
Yeah, because we tried to record early, and then it didn't work, so we had normal.
Gross. Shall we?
Yeah, might as well.
Did you know this takes place in New York City?
How can you tell?
Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen her yet.
That could be true. We haven't seen the Empire State Building either. So it's daytime.
It's straight up daytime.
Like it may be just after morning break, because it looks a little twilighty. Or not twilighty, a little morning mist.
Yeah, sort of the sun has just crested.
And we open, like, we get a bunch of establishing shots, and then we cut over to a dock that says, "Do not walk on the dock."
Now,
like, there's a sign posted right in front of it.
That fucking sign is there for a reason. Probably because there's some sort of danger.
Yep.
That dock looks like it's in disrepair. It could collapse under anyone's weight. And what does Splinter and Andre do? They hang out on the dock.
Well, to be fair, Andre can't read that sign.
All right, that's fair.
Splinter chose this meeting place, I'm going to wager. And Splinter also decided, fuck it, let's just go outside. It's daytime, whatever.
But he does say, Andre, you're 2 hours late. So if your theory of it being just the crest of dawn is true, that means he wanted to meet Andre pre-dawn.
Okay.
But he didn't go away. He didn't, like, go, well, fuck, sun's up.
I'm a monster. I should get back underground.
I gotta hide. People will try and kill me because I'm terrifying. People try and kill each other because they're slightly different. He is a straight-up goblin. People will murder him.
So Andre wanders up. Well, not wanders. He walks out there deliberately.
Yeah, just because he's blind, Sky. I want to apologize right now to anyone who might listen who is blind, because I promise I will accidentally be insensitive. Sky will be slightly less insensitive, but it's gonna happen. Because Andre's really ridiculous.
Yeah, I when we first met him, he didn't really have any character development or lines, really.
He was blind, that was his character.
But I chose to believe that he was just a normal person who could go about his day and get things done.
He can?
Yeah, we'll get into it, yeah.
I worked with a blind girl when I was directing a play twice, and she was way more apt than Andre. So.
Yeah, he's cartoon blind. He's not even walking with the cane properly.
He's fucking Mr. Magoo.
Yeah. There's a proper way to walk with a cane. Because there's a specific way where the cane is where the foot you're leading with isn't. That way, you don't walk into something. And Andre just kind of walks tapping directly in front of him, not weaving it back and forth.
Well, it's a show about a big monster rat and his turtle friends. What do you want from them?
More.
So we learn that Andre's been fucking booted from his building so they can rent it to yuppies. Goddamn millennials.
This was before our time.
Yeah. But I mean, this is just a comment on society today, just about how we don't treasure our elders.
We don't have a proper place to store our old people.
Yeah.
Splinter makes a unilateral decision that Andre is going to come and stay with him and the turtles without discussing it with his family.
To be fair, he's the dad. He can make that decision.
True. But also, there's five other people staying in that place indeterminate size.
Five people who cannot go 3 seconds without telling each other that they're turtles. Everything is turtles.
Every sentence ends with green time or shellacious or turtlefication.
They're like a really uninteresting person who has one thing about them, and that's all they can say. Like, oh, I can't even think of anything. Like
firefighting.
Oh yeah, firefighters love to tell you that they're a firefighter. You're right. Now Sky is desecrating your firefighters. He hates blind firefighters, everyone.
Are there a lot of those?
I don't know. Now, Andre doesn't know that Splinter's a rat. Cool. Does he ever question that his name is Splinter? That's not a name.
Well, it could be a nickname. I bet, like, he knew some jazz magicians.
Oh, Andre definitely knew some jazz magicians.
Musicians. I said magician, and then you said magician, because I contaminated your brain. But I bet Andre knows some jazz musicians. Jesus Christ, Ertl. Get it together.
Just edit all the word musician out. I can't. Andre definitely looks like he's one of the grandfathers from The Cosby Show.
It would have been great if his walking stick was a trombone. So I'm betting that he knows some dudes with some silly names.
I guess that's
true. Like Muddy Waters. Etc. That's the only jazz musician I could think of. In any event, Splinter's just like, hey, come stay with me and my family.
Come stay in our sewer.
He does not mention up front that it is, in fact, a sewer.
Well, would ya?
Nah. Andre agrees, and then we cut over to a different part of the port, or wharf, or wherever they're near the docks.
The dock.
Queez is just wandering around. He has no reason to be out there.
He's on a walk! It's the fucking morning time.
Right.
He's just exercising.
But he's wandering around holding a long rod that is some sort of bio-disruptor of some sort.
It's going to cause bio to melt or something.
I guess it's supposed to, the way they paint it, it's supposed to spontaneously combust stuff. Why he didn't make that in the lab and then bring it directly to Dragon Lord, I don't know.
Because it was time for his walk.
Right.
He
but
left
why,
the lab why? And he said, hey, it's 7:30. It's time for my walk. That's how I keep healthy.
First of all, he takes constitutionals.
All right, he's on his morning constitutional, and he said, oh, I'll take my stick with me. When I return, I'll head straight to Dragon Lord's room, show him my disruptor stick.
No.
Show no, me the evidence should. Otherwise.
Well, this entire episode is based on this stupid decision.
The whole thing
Is the lab off-site?
I think it's just like
because it seemed like it was down the hall.
I assumed it's upstairs only because the turtles always crawl up to get into it. But I guess they're coming from below the street.
Yeah, so that could be ground floor.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, the Dragon Lord's church is really tall, so I also assumed that something had to be upstairs.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Dragon Lord's whole deal is, I want to eat these turtles.
Yes.
So why would Queez make a weapon that, like, explodes them?
Well, he says at some point that it's good for cooking turtles.
So it doesn't, like, explode you, it just, like, fries you from the inside out.
Well, he also states that it's going to turn them into ash, so I don't know where. Maybe there's a setting.
There are a couple buttons.
Delicious turtle meat or ash.
I can cook a turkey in 3 seconds. I've saved Thanksgiving.
So, I don't know, but he pulls out his doodad and makes some notes to himself, starting the sentence with, I'm a genius, because in case he forgot.
Please, don't, Sky, I've heard you start sentences like that.
Luckily, Andre brought all of his luggage and left it not on the dock, so Splinter's carrying it for
him. Well, he got kicked out, so I assume he just had to bring it with him and, like, tucked it away somewhere, I
sure,
guess.
But how many suitcases do you own? Is it 5?
I only own 2 suitcases.
Because he has at least 5.
But also, those are all of his belongings?
Okay, but, like, why isn't there, like, garbage bags
and boxes? And, yeah. If we got kicked out of this house right now, it would take me 3 weeks to move out.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Splinter can't see because he's got the luggage. And Andre can't see because he's blind. Queez has no reason to...
Yeah, I guess that's
just
true.
Queez just slams into them and knocks down the luggage and Andre, and he... It's a classic mix-em-up.
Right from the get-go.
Queez doesn't notice that Splinter is an enormous rat.
That's because he's holding the suitcases between them.
No. No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He's pretending to, he's but trying he has a to. Clear line of sight.
Listen, it takes a lot for people to realize that Splinter's a rat for some reason.
Well, rat DNA is very close to human DNA.
But they fall into all those boxes, and that was then lucky. Queez picks up Andre's regular walking stick.
And wouldn't you know it, Andre accidentally grabs the weapon and blows up the ground a little bit, like 3 or 4 times.
And Splinter doesn't notice, and Andre doesn't notice.
Yep, even though we hear tiny explosions. And I guess Splinter did recognize him because he says something like, a brush with evil.
He calls him an evil weevil.
It was real weird. And then we cut to the opening.
Also, there are buttons on the disruptor stick.
Yeah.
Like, that Andre pushes. Wouldn't he be like... Hey, I didn't used to have to push buttons on my regular walking stick.
Also, that hand grip is thicker. Yeah. And I'm willing to bet that disruptor doesn't collapse like a blind person's game
It probably
would.
Also weighs at least a little bit different.
Yeah, the weight's... So there's a lot
and
of...
And if I know anything from Daredevil, his senses are heightened. His other senses, I mean. Not his sense of height. Sight. Damn it. We're real struggling on this one.
So we cut back and get the opening shot of the lair. Donatello has done a thing that is supposed to be some sort of safeguard. He put in some doodad that'll drop like 50,000 ping pong balls
it's
or something.
It's only 1,000 ping pong balls.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's a motion detector that when it triggers it, it rains down ping pong balls. But it's directly in their main entrance.
Yes. It's also on off to the side. So like pretty easy to sidestep. And also, how would this in any way be effective towards anything?
Well, we find out later that it's not.
Well, sure. But how did he pitch this idea to the other
turtles? He tells them. He says it'll rain down 1,000 ping pong balls, causing them disorientation and then giving them trouble to walk on, Home Alone style. Right. He just saw Home Alone.
Lost in New York?
No. Home Alone 3.
Oh.
The third.
The one where they get knocked down, but they get up again?
Yeah.
They use tub thumping in the commercials for that one.
Shut up.
You shut up. Everybody's really excited and on board for this stupid thing. It's not difficult to smash a ping pong ball.
No, like, even marbles would be better.
Splinter's brought Andre, and he just drops his suitcases down the hole. And this is how the turtles get introduced to him.
Yeah. Boy. Not a heads up. Yep. Not a, hey, Andre, my kids are down here. Don't say banana.
One of them will fucking kill you for yeah. some reason. Also, don't eat anything. Michelangelo prepares you.
Right. Here's my problem with this. He has invited this blind gentleman.
Yes.
Into his filthy fucking home.
Yes.
This home is not safe for regular people with sight.
No.
There are tripping hazards everywhere. There are pointy things just laying about.
Yeah. Apparently, Leonardo just left his fucking his pretend katana out on the table or something.
And, I mean, Andre gets a hold of a lot of those, but at no point does he just fall and bash his fucking face on the coffee table like would actually happen.
I think that's for the best, but...
that we don't see that happen. A lot of blood in this episode. But they lie to him and tell him it's not a fucking sewer.
Yeah, they call it a penthouse, but underground.
Yeah, a sub-level penthouse or something.
Yeah, and then the ping pong balls drop. And then yeah. Andre, nonplussed, says, hey, Splinter, call your landlord and tell him to change the weather in your apartment. Brother, you've got hail.
Sky, that is an old-timey, jazzy, blind New York man. He has seen some shit. Which he's probably 70 years old, so he's been in New York since, like, the 30s at this point. nothing can affect him. If he found out those were monsters that he was hanging out with, he'd probably be like, cool, man. Like, Andre doesn't give a single fuck.
He also doesn't talk like that.
He kind of does. He says brother and, like, jive and stuff. I don't know. That's the Turtles.
Yeah. I don't know. I just... It feels weird.
Well, I mean, it's this show.
Yeah.
They don't know how to write for people. Also, you get a good look at Venus's hands, and it creeps me out that she has lady fingernails. It just makes me really uncomfortable.
I'm kind of surprised that they're not painted the same shade of blue as her mask and shin guards and stuff. Splinter leads Andre over to the couch where Venus is meditating, and he just kind of waves his cane around in a really rude way.
Yeah.
I get it, you can't see, but maybe don't just swing that your cane around and knock all your shit down off
of
shelves.
That's just a rule, like, yeah. When you're in a place.
Yeah.
And then he finds an exploding ball.
Yeah, he finds one of Venus's armored beads, and he just decides it's a ping pong ball and hucks it behind him, and it explodes in Splinter's train car.
So he thinks the ping pong balls are hail, and he thinks the exploding balls are ping pong balls.
Yes.
Okay.
Even though they are very different sizes,
yes, and
consistency,
probably
and probably weights.
But then, so while this is happening, Splinter's like a foot away being like, hey, I know you're turtles.
Pretend to be human, please.
Just be cool.
I know you're not good at it, but be cool,
please. You know
please.
How you lied to all those people at your rave?
Do that, but here.
Do that, but here.
Live the lie, please. Which is fine, whatever.
Unless he tries to kiss someone. If he goes in for a kiss on any of them, then they're fucking screwed.
Also, the turtles actively say, please don't throw that, and then he throws it anyway.
It's true. He's not going to kid a kiss that way.
He finds one of Donatello's staffs, which apparently has a fucking arrow in it that can shoot out at high velocity.
I mean, Donatello's been working on him. In that other episode, he was like, I'm making this better, and yeah. Splinter was like, nah, wood's cool.
And he picks it up, he says, what is this, a javelin? And then just fucking shoots it. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? You are a guest. And it shoots an arrow, and he decides it thunks into the wall right next to his head, and he decides it's a hat rack, and he hangs up his hat.
This is why I don't invite blind people over here.
You also don't know any blind people.
I know a blind person. I already went through that story.
Well, inviting a high schooler over is probably a poor choice.
Yeah.
That's how you end up on lists. You'll have to move because you won't be able to live next to a playground.
Now that this is on the internet, I'm already on a list, so thanks.
Well, you're the one that posted the turtle porn.
What?
You're the
one.
Oh,
I did, didn't I?
And then he picks up Leonardo's sword and starts activating the scissors because he's a menace.
Thank goodness for him, they're not real scissors.
Yeah. So we cut over to the Dragon Church, and Queez is attempting to use the Dealie because he also didn't notice the change in weight or size or shape of the cane that he's holding.
Literally until he presented it to the boss.
He didn't try to do a trial run, you know, beforehand, make sure that the power is good. Just brought a regular cane up to the Dragon Lord.
Just imagine how different the show would be if people just used like a regular train of thought.
Dragon Lord's like, is it broken? How did you break it? And he's like, no, it's not broken. It's just not here.
This is just
I lost
stick.
It. But I can go get it based on no information.
No, he has the thing that tracks the bio.
That's fair. Apparently it's radioactive. You're right. So he's got a doodad where he can track the radiation.
Because then Dragon Lord goes full Donald Trump, is like, I will pull the plug on this science. In 24 hours.
Well, I think he implies that he's going to kill Queez at that point.
No, he straight up says that we'll cut the funding.
Yeah, and then he draws a line across his neck with a claw.
I thought that was just about the funding.
No, I think that is...
Well, just like our fine president, he's really hard to read. He's very vague and menacing, but not really.
Dragon Lord completes thoughts, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I like about him. Cut back to the sewer. The turtles are all eating hot dogs. They're eating turtle dogs.
But also, we watch Andre take the fakest bite of food I've seen in this show. Most of the cast
containing
is puppets. And I've seen them bite things more realistically than this blind man just pretended to bite that hot dog. Just one shot of him like swooping his face at the hot dog, and then the next shot, it's in his mouth, and he's spitting it out.
Yes, also Leonardo is eating a hot dog with chopsticks.
Was he?
Yep.
I missed that.
But Michelangelo concocted some sort of nonsense with anchovies and something else, so it's disgusting.
So Andre's like, I'm gonna go get proper hot dog fixins.
Evidently means...
all the cheese.
No less than 10 wedges of cheese.
No less than $70 worth of cheese.
Couldn't pay his rent. Maybe it's because he's buying too much cheese.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. Maybe come back on your cheese habit. How much cheese is too much cheese?
Any amount of cheese is too much cheese.
But he goes to Dr. Cheese, which looks like this quaint little cheese shop.
Also, Kind of sounds like a front for Dr. Cheese.
Yeah. Are those people just eating cheese outside of Dr. Cheese? Cause
I guess so.
What it looks like.
But Dr. Cheese is outside of Dr. Cheese because he's got his doodad and led him there.
Dr. Cheese, Dr. Cheese, Dr. Cheese.
Cheese makes a cartoon amount of effort to chase after him and dives at this blind man, misses, and ends up in a garbage can.
To be fair, I mean, obviously there's something wrong with Dr. Cheese. Look at him. He's very sick. So whatever's wrong with him, probably, like, that's how he thinks he should... It's, like, whatever level of brain tumors or whatever he has, like, that's how he should sneak. He's not purposely being over cartoony. He's just not well.
I'll accept that.
And that's how you end up in a trash can. Bested by a blind man with a bag of cheese.
This is the second time he's wound up in trash, thanks to Andre.
Not the last.
Yeah, there's at least one more. So the turtles just let this blind man leave the lair that he's only been once.
I mean, to be fair, he seems to be able to get around on his own. Okay, he finds Splinter all the time.
True, but the dragons can't find the lair.
Yeah, but the blind
foot couldn't find the lair after actively looking for it for 18 years.
The blind man's not a dum-dum. He knows to count his steps.
Okay, that's fair, I guess. I just don't feel like it's a good idea to let anybody wander around the sewer.
Well, I imagine he just goes out that hole he came in. He probably didn't take the sewers down to the old cheese shop. And then he just shows up and he fucking dumps his big ass package. That's more than $70 worth of cheese.
Absolutely.
It's so much cheese. Also, Splinter loves cheese because he's a rat.
Yeah. The turtles are not super big fans of Andre, so they're kind of mocking him as he was away. And they shut up immediately as he enters the lair.
And they pretend like this cheese is gross and stinks. They literally eat what they can find in the sewer, right?
Yes.
This is the freshest food they've ever been given.
Very likely, except for pizzas.
Those hot dogs looked pretty good. They were real long and big, but when you have giant monsters like that, you gotta have a big-ass hot dog so it doesn't look dumb in their hands.
That's probably true. We cut back to Cheese. It's nighttime now, and the doodad has led him to a manhole cover. I have a problem with this, whereas if it only detects radiation, it should have just led him to the spot, like, right above where the lair is, instead of to a door, but whatever.
I mean, maybe it's right underneath there?
Maybe he left it right by the stairs or the ladder leading out. But Cheese is like, awesome, I'm going to go find this thing and it'll be mine. And the rank that are with him don't appreciate him not mentioning Dragon Lord in that statement. So he changes his tune and is like, it'll be Dragon Lords.
But then he doesn't go in the hole?
Yeah, they run off a different direction.
For some reason? And then here comes a classic blind man misunderstanding when weapons are around.
Yeah, he touched all the other turtles' weapons, so now he's got Raphael's Psi, which apparently to him felt like a shoehorn, and he was using it to help or to get his slippers off his feet.
Yeah, which, by the way, I don't know if you've ever worn a damn slipper, but you don't need a shoehorn to take a slipper off.
They're named slippers, because you can slip them on and off. But apparently this old man's feet have swollen to the point where he can't get them off. In any case, Raphael was like, dude, what are you doing? That's not for that.
You're gonna hurt yourself, asshole.
But he acquiesces and gives it back and lets Andre get his other slipper off using his Psi.
Then he straight up tucks Andre in.
Yep, and tells him to dream about babes.
Yep, he calls him a homie.
He does.
And Andre sleeps in his glasses because he's blind.
Right.
Duh.
And they found a bed and they set it up right in the middle of the floor.
And we get to see, like, how the turtles actively go to sleep.
Instead of just where they've passed out.
But it's exactly the same.
Pretty much.
Because Michelangelo and Leonardo share a couch.
They are scissoring.
They absolutely are scissoring.
There's no other way to describe what I'm looking at.
That place isn't huge, but I bet if you, like, took one of those, like, spare rooms that nothing's happening in.
Yeah, why don't you just throw a mattress on top of the train car? Just throw up some guardrails. You'll be fine.
Just put some mattresses down around. Maybe no one's flushed any mattresses? I don't know. I mean, they're visiting the zoo all the time. They could probably visit the junkyard.
Well, they broke into the laser tag place. Fuck it. Just steal some mattresses.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they also have a clapper, which I appreciate. Which is nice. Which doesn't actually... It turns off a light, and it's still very bright in there. But apparently, Andre snores a lot, or loudly.
I mean, if he didn't sleep in his glasses, he could roll over and it would be fine.
So, Raphael goes out for a midnight constitutional.
Stop saying constitutional.
No.
Okay.
You'd expect him to jump on the motorcycle.
Yeah, I really thought it was going to happen.
But we need more exposition. So he crawls out of that the manhole that Queez had staked out. Apparently they were just waiting for someone else to come out.
Yeah, I guess so. For someone to bring the stick out to them. I mean, to be fair, I don't want to go in the sewer either, so.
Yeah. But the Rank have no qualms.
Yeah, they're also monsters.
And Queez looks mostly dead, but whatever. Ref tells him that he wasn't able to sleep because they're being polite for the moment. And then Queez offers to murder him, to which Raphael isn't super responsive.
He's going to murder them with those weird scissors.
But Queez immediately is like, where's the disruptor rod? And Ref understandably says, what? And he's like, I know you know what it is. And it's like, why would I know what it is, dude? Oh, you mean Andre? He's the one with the stick. So why would you tell him that, man? What's right? even happening? But I don't know. Then Raph gets really annoyed or angry with Queez for wanting to take a blind man's cane. He says, I've got another friend who's hard of hearing. Do you want to steal his hearing aid? And he goes to take a swing.
But
and
he
the
says
Rank hold it back.
He says it weird. He doesn't. I feel like the enunciation's weird. He says, I have another friend who's hard of hearing. And then I was like, what? And then he goes, do you want to take his hearing aid? Like, I felt like the emphasis was on the wrong words the way he said
it. Yeah.
I was very
distracted. Roll off the tongue.
So he calls Dragonlord and is like, you want to eat a turtle, buddy? And he says, yeah.
Well, no, he says, does it have the disruptor rod?
Oh, yeah.
Because apparently he doesn't want to have to wait for it to cook.
Well, who does? He's just holding a bone, by the way.
He can breathe fire.
I guess that's true.
And he was eating a raw meal right then. He made a point to say that. So I don't know what's going on or what the plan is, if there is one. But Raphael is holding a cape of some sort or something.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. He didn't have it when he left, but he pulls out a red cape. He hucks it over the dragons and then kicks over scaffold or something. And a bunch of plastic containers fall on the Rank.
Now, from that moment, for a few moments here, this fight almost looks like a good fight. If you take out all of Raph's yelling, like he kicks
and stupid sound effects.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Take all the chicken clucks out of this. But he like opens that door and hits a guy and kicks him through the window.
Yeah.
And then like hops up on the car and like does running and flipping and maybe not so much flipping, but he's a lot of kicking instead of just like throwing chairs at people.
Yeah. It's not bad this time. He does use some trash cans,
but he uses them to like actually fight. He doesn't. Well, he doesn't like. I don't know. He does. It's not dumb. Or it's not as dumb.
He does stand in them and then kick a couple at
right,
some Rank.
But I mean, it works.
And then he Captain America's a bunch of like pallets with one of the trash can lids.
And then it's impossible for the dragons to get around that car and over the top of things.
That's right.
I understand Queez not being able to get over it because he's sickly. Wouldn't you think he'd just be like, hey, let's go in this hole this turtle just came out of?
Yes. Yes, I would expect that. But that is not what happens.
So that must not be the main entrance, because Raph gets back to the lair and goes, he's coming in the main entrance.
Or he doubled back? I don't know.
Hard to say.
Impossible to say. But...
but good news, Donatello's trap works.
Yeah, and it is, in fact, a minor nuisance. Raphael, I do actually appreciate that form, because he stops, and he looks genuinely irritated.
He sure does. Like, I think
really
that's the most
work.
Acting in the whole show so far, yes. Is how annoyed Raphael looks.
They pull it off nice. And then he stumbles down the stairs, because he's sliding around on ping pong balls that his giant 200-pound turtle feet don't smash for some reason. So he wakes up the other turtles, and is like, hey, I just fought a bunch of Rank, and they're probably coming here, so we should do a thing about that.
I already set up the trap,
yeah.
So we should reset that and then go out.
How many more ping pong balls do we have?
I mean, you could probably reuse those ping pong balls.
Well, yeah, but some of them got smashed.
I suppose so.
Or lost in the disarray that is the lair.
Their fucking filth house.
Yeah, so in the intervening time, in the in-between time when Raphael left and came back, Andre got up, wrote a note on a pizza box, and went to go find a new apartment.
I have a lot of questions.
Yes.
Do blind people know how to write?
I would assume so, yes.
Because maybe he hasn't always been blind?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going to say yes.
But let's imagine you're in your first night in a new place that's filthy. How sure. do you find a fucking pen and a pizza box to write on?
Well, pizza box, I don't feel like was a problem.
No, he was probably sleeping on it.
That's what his bed was made out of.
We pulled all these pizza boxes on top of each other for you.
Yeah, threw a blanket on it, so you don't know.
Yeah, because you're blind.
It's not like he's a princess and he can feel a pee through a mattress.
That's the next
he's
episode.
Just some guy.
Just a princess guy.
So we never actually see the note, so I don't think it actually exists.
No, it's just Venus looking at a pizza box. But she says he apologizes for being a burden and that he's going to go look for an apartment.
He was in there for less than 12 hours.
Also, that's what he's staying here for, is to stay here until he finds an apartment.
Yes.
He doesn't need to apologize. They don't need to freak out.
Correct. Well,
I mean,
Queez is going after him. They did discover that.
They need to freak out about that.
Yes.
But, like, it's nice of him to leave a note and be like, hey, I'm going to look for an apartment. I'll be back if I don't find one today.
It's just, yeah, him saying, I'm sorry, I was a burden, is a weird choice.
It sure is. Sorry you guys had to make up a bed for me.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, I guess he did kind of fuck up their shit a little bit.
I guess, but he didn't seem to know that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know whose side I'm on.
Definitely not Splinter's.
No, he should have talked to the turtles first. But, and then Leonardo, like, out of nowhere goes, I guess he wasn't that bad after all. Nothing? Why would you say that? He
brought you all that cheese. He's a great house guest.
Yeah. I mean, yes, he went out for hot dog stuff and came back with wedges of cheese, which is weird. But maybe he makes hot dogs weird. I don't know.
I mean,
maybe that's just what he was told.
Cheese dogs are a thing, Sky.
True.
But not with that fancy ass cheese. Yeah. It's always the cheapest cheese you can get.
You get a can of cheese that's good for 40 years.
Yeah. There's currently one chilling in this house waiting for a nacho party. Once a year we have a nacho party.
We've had a couple emergency pizza parties, too.
I live a weird life.
So the turtles decide they're going to go find him once it gets dark. And we got
okay, so
we got outside.
Wait,
was walking down the street using the disruptor as a cane, and it is blowing up the asphalt a little bit. And then the most bizarre thing in the episode happens.
But the funniest thing, I think, so because last week I was like, Sweetie Pie is probably my favorite. But then fucking Queez.
What's the most menacing mode of transportation we could give this scientist who's built a teleporting device?
He's on a goddamn bicycle.
He's on, like, it's a fixed gear. It's like, it's a cruiser bicycle.
Yeah, it's like a Schwinn, an old-timey Schwinn.
Jake and I laughed so loud.
Just it comes out of nowhere.
He's wearing his yellow lab coat, and it's just blowing behind him like a cape.
His hair is blowing in the wind.
And it's so unintentionally funny.
Yeah, I work with dragons. Here's my bike. I'm telling you,
they have a motorcycle. They had it last episode.
He tries to stay fit, because he has that cancer or whatever he's got that makes him look so terrible.
Oh,
it's
man.
So good.
But not on purpose.
No. I mean, that actor rides that bike like a motherfucker. Like, he owns it.
That was his idea, probably.
I got my bike here, guys.
Oh, man. So, he spies Andre, who is not in, like, any residential area looking.
Right? Where is he looking for apartments?
I don't know.
Down by the docks again.
He's just by a bunch of containers, like metal shipping containers.
He's going to get one of them small houses. They got a whole show on HGTV. I watched
What if I told you about watching HGTV?
To not to. Gets me all fired up. No, he's in the rail yard. That's what they're fucking trains.
Okay. Whatever, dude. Maybe he's planning to be a transient.
If I can't live with my rat friend, I'm going to be a transient.
Then Queez decided he couldn't live there.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But yeah, Queez rides full speed at him on his bicycle and misses yet again, landing in a bunch of garbage bags.
For the third time in the episode.
So far. And Andre doesn't notice still. And he just walks right by. It's finally nighttime. We cut back to the lair.
Oh, yeah, because Splinter wouldn't let them go find Andre in the day, even though he met up with Andre early in the day that other day.
Yesterday.
Day. Time is hard.
Well, for them, it was yesterday morning.
Time
or
is hard
evening.
In real life. Who knows?
So sometime.
Either way, the fucking rat's a hypocrite.
Yes. Well, he probably hasn't had his beers to settle his nerves yet.
That's true.
It's early or late or something. But he's playing chess by himself, and the other turtles are like, let's go find him so he doesn't get murdered. So we get the getting in the cars.
For the next 8 minutes. I've started a car before. There are not this many switches.
There's no switches in my car.
Mine's just a key.
Yeah, I guess that counts as a switch.
Sort of.
I guess it does successfully take away 2 minutes that they have to plot out.
Yeah, all of this awkwardness that we've been sitting here is waiting for the plot to continue.
Most of that'll get cut.
Oh, son of a bitch.
So we cut over to where Andre has decided to take a sit down.
Next to a sign that says danger, no access, because yep. He doesn't give a fuck.
Well, also, I'm guessing they're portraying him as not knowing where he's at.
Yeah, maybe.
He hasn't, I don't know if he's interacted with anybody throughout the day. Because I'm sure somebody would have been like, oh, you can't rent rooms here. This is a rail yard.
Do you think he just walks around going, apartment? Apartment?
No, he was walking around silently.
Yeah, tapping, waiting till he heard the tap of an apartment.
That's right.
Tippy tap, 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 nope. Tippy tap, tap, nope. Tippy tip, tap, tap, nope. Tip, tip. Oh,
there it is.
Tap, nope.
Damn. So he's just sitting down, and Queez and the Rank show up. And they're in a menacing position, but again, it's kind of lost on him. But he understands that he's being threatened because Queez is just like, give me your cane! And immediately he goes to use his cane as a weapon. He activates the burner, waves it around, and the effect on it isn't terrible, but it's not great.
You don't know what a bio melter looks like. That could be it.
I guess it does leave a nice trail.
It does.
But Queez, luckily, had his lucky marbles with him, dumps it out, and successfully trips a blind man.
There are a lot of little balls in this episode.
Andre falls down.
He's old as fuck, too. That would kill him.
Yeah, he should have broke both hips.
Yeah. His bones are made of glass.
Yeah. Queez picks up the thing and says, checkmate, as though he knows that this gentleman plays chess a lot. But there's no way he could have known that.
Also, test the thing on Andre. Like, you're evil.
It's true.
He's a blind old homeless man at this point. No one knows. He has a monster friend.
It's true.
That's it.
You've been following him around all day. You know that there's nobody looking for him. But the turtles drive up like they'll do. In New York City, they knew exactly where to go. And fucking Master Splinter is already there. Maybe that's how they knew.
Splinter told us this is where he was at.
So they were driving around for nothing because Splinter got there before them somehow.
Because he just went through the sewer and popped up. He didn't take the interstate.
Important note, he's wearing his hood and is completely indistinguishable from a regular human.
He looks like a person when he's wearing his hood.
For the record, that is not accurate.
What are you talking about? Queez thinks he's a person, but then he takes off his hood and he's like, what the fuck?
He does gasp and go into a fighting stance with the bio disruptor.
Oh man. Also, at this point, you know there are 5 monster turtles. You work for dragons from another dimension. This rat should not set you back that much. Like he.
Yeah, also you're in New York where there are rats that are probably at least half the size of the rat you're looking at. Or the turtles show up and then they start fighting the Rank, and Queez tries to stab Master Splinter with the bio disruptor. The fight is pretty okay. Like there's a lot of construction equipment and rail yard stuff.
But then
spools.
But then they do like this patty cake thing.
Yeah, Leonardo and Donatello do a patty cake with different lyrics, and then they punch the Rank.
What do you think would happen if we edited out all the dumbness like that? Like if you had just taken that out and gone right to the flip where Donatello flips up on the thing.
Yeah, there's a zip line set up for Donatello to kick a dude.
I don't think it's set up for that. I think it's there.
I don't know why you would have a zip line.
Well, I don't think it's a zip line. I think it's a construction line.
For what?
For construction.
All right, fair enough.
Everyone here who's been on a construction site, raise your hand. Put your hand down. You've never been on a construction site.
I wasn't doing anything, but I was on one.
You're just hanging out on construction sites hoping you become an Animorph, don't you? I'm going to cut through the construction site, guys. But our mom said to not to.
Well, yeah, because we'll probably get murdered.
Yeah, but there's an off chance an alien will land.
A centaur deer is going to come down and give me morphing powers, and then I'll have to go through some incredibly dark stuff. Way too dark for my reading level at the time.
But for that to happen, you'd have to come home from the mall, and who's gonna do that?
Nothing. There's nothing in our mall. There's not even a food court anymore. The last store is finally closed. Our mall's real sad, y'all.
It's real funny. Stop saying y'all.
I'll do what I want.
No!
So, Queez is fighting Splinter. Splinter should just bash him in the head with his cane.
Like, especially when he's behind him.
I get maybe he's having fun because he is cackling through the whole thing, but... Dude, be a ninja and end this.
They're also using the fighting Splinter head, which means the mouth is just open the whole time and, and terrifying.
It's unnerving. Venus goes over to help Andre. Splinter manages to flick the bio disruptor over to Andre's feet. And then apparently Ninja vanishes because Queez just walks right over and takes it back from him. He grabs the thing and activates it so the tip is glowing. And then he decides, now's the time when I'm going to go ahead and use it and murder these things and people and whatever. And then he pauses to do a note, giving Venus a lot of time to pull the armored beads out and huck them in the air. He stupidly looks up at the balls she threw, and then she grabs the disruptor and snaps it over her knee like she's goddamn Bane snapping Batman in half.
Yet again, tiny balls.
Saving the day. And then Queez is like, you destroyed it! She just broke it in half. Just connect the wires again and you're probably fine.
Yeah, you're not a delicate genius. You can do everything once.
He's probably got the plan somewhere. Maybe on that book he wrote for Donatello.
Maybe.
But nope, he's completely defeated. All the other rank are just, you know, defeated. And then that's it. They don't bother getting, like, arresting Queez or whatever.
They don't have that kind of power. They're not.
Yeah, police. But knock him out and leave him there tied up or something.
I guess. But how do you. What do you.
You leave a note. You call the police. Do a Spider-Man.
But, like, where's your evidence that he was doing anything illegal in this case?
I don't know. He looks like a monster.
He does look like a monster. Their best bet was to just fucking drown him. They should have done it. Because
they were right there at the docks. And it's not like Andre would have been a witness.
Right?
You wouldn't have to kill him, too.
Sound? Oh, there's just a dolphin.
Yeah. It certainly wasn't a body we rolled in there.
Yeah. That dolphin's doing a lot of screaming.
It's weird that you mentioned that, but I'm going to go ahead and believe you.
Yeah.
So, from it's daytime now. And from there, I don't know how much time has passed, but Andre has found an apartment and has moved in, and all of the turtles are there, even though it's daytime.
And there's way more stuff than he had before?
Yeah, I don't know how he fit that bed in those suitcases, but whatever. Maybe it's a furnished apartment.
Yeah, maybe he's just really rich and he bought all new stuff.
I think the fact that he went and lived in the sewer for a spell, well, for less than 12 hours.
Right, because, like, his landlord was like, get the fuck out, and then he got the fuck out. Like, you have to give someone more notice than just pack your suitcases, you're
legally,
out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe he wasn't living in a legal situation. This is the part where I thought maybe he might kiss Splinter.
I thought that he was going to finally just be like, I know you're a rat and these are turtles.
Yeah, I also thought
I
that.
Really hope, I wanted that to happen.
I thought that was more likely to happen than the kiss.
But nope, he still doesn't know. He accuses Splinter of wearing a fur coat all the time.
And being a werewolf.
Yeah, he's real close. And then everybody laughs and it ends.
Yay! I mean, I was saying yay for it being over.
Yeah. I mean, it was a happy ending.
That's true. Queez didn't win, so we have that going for us.
And nobody got biomatter fried or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, we got that going for us.
Jake.
Uh-oh.
What would you say is the most turtle-rific part of this episode?
I'm going to go ahead and say Raphael's face when he springs the trap.
It was the look of pure irritation. It was great.
It's almost like they built that turtle just to have that resting face.
It's true, because like the actor did like a little sigh also. You could see his shoulders drop because he was so annoyed. It was great.
Ooh, also Queez rode that bicycle really good. I forgot.
That was going to be mine.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that was pretty boss. Yeah, I don't have one. That was going to be mine. But it's fine. I don't know, like, if they copywrote the Wicked Witch of the West theme, because I feel like it's been long enough that it's probably fair use, but they didn't use it, and I really wish that they had. Watching him ride into frame was hilarious.
I mean, you can edit that really easily.
Well, maybe not the video for me, but I could throw it in here.
I mean,
that's what you meant.
No, I mean, it's just a video. You just put sound over it.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So, that was episode 20.
Yeah, the guest.
What do we got on the docket for next
episode
week?
Episode 21.
Oh.
It's called Like Brothers.
Yeah?
The continuing conflict between Raphael and Donatello comes to a head again.
Is it Donatello?
This time, however, Mike and Leonardo get dragged into it. Couple things. They refer to Mikey as Mike in the description.
That's odd.
Mike. Also, the continuing conflict between Raphael and Donatello.
That's bizarre.
It must mean continuing from the cold open into the rest of the episode.
Probably. I don't know. That maybe they typed it up wrong. Maybe it's supposed to be Leonardo. Because I know there is an episode where they, Leonardo and Raphael, have a long debate that ends up being a clip show.
Oh, yeah? There's a clip show?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
So that'll be fun.
We'll find out next week.
Yay!
Maybe this one's the Christmas one.
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be great? Should have asked Rick.
How come there's no Christmas one? That website that James recommended about Christmas is wonderful, everyone.
Good looking out, James.
Yeah. So is that it? Is that this episode of our podcast?
I think so.
Whatever it's called.
Pop Culture Failure.
That's it.
Yeah, if you...
So hot. It's like 1,000 degrees.
It's so hot
in here.
Why did it get so hot?
I don't know.
You can follow the show at Failed Pop Culture with no E at the end because it was too many characters. You can email the show at popculturefailure@gmail.com. You can follow me, Sky, at Sandwich Surplus.
Or me, Jake, on Twitter at Midwest Love Affair.
Yay. So that's the episode for this week. Thank you guys very much for listening. We will have a bonus episode coming up pretty soon where we interview Rick. Some of you saw on the Twitters. It was awesome. It was really great speaking to him. He had a lot of great stories, and I'm really excited to get that out to you guys.
He's
going to
make you feel real bad for disliking the show as much
yeah.
as you do.
Yeah.
Because it sounded really cool and fun to make.
He had a good time.
Yeah.
And he had a great time talking to us about I'm at a loss for words. He had a great time telling us all the stories from on set, and
really struggled there.
I don't know why.
Because it's so damn hot.
It's too hot to focus. But thank you guys very much for listening. We will see you next time.
Bye. Ninja Turtles are on the scene. You mess with green and it's gonna get mean. Ninja Turtles are on the scene. You mess with green and it's gonna get mean. Does it work?
Yeah, but the levels are way down.
We'll fix it.
I am fixing it. Why don't you shut your fucking mouth?
I'll kill all of us.
Then do it already.
Meh, meh, meh. Look how loud I can talk.
That's why I don't let you see the recording
levels. Damn it.
Today's guest is the penguin.